Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I'm here in Millinocket with Deb Perkins, who's running for House District number 10 against Herbie Clark. Hi, Debbie, how are you?
Hey, Michelle, fine, how are you?
I'm great. Let me ask you what I ask everybody. Why would I want to vote for Debbie Perkins?
Because Debbie Perkins wants to be a new voice for the state of Maine. I've been a business owner for 25 years. I know firsthand what the state of Maine has cost me and not helped me a bit. I've been a business owner that's had no health insurance or catastrophic health insurance. I've been a business owner where bureaucracy and regulations have strangled me and has literally drained my resources and my bank accounts. And I'm hoping to make a difference.
What sort of changes do you think you'd want to make in the way that the state is run?
Very first thing we've got to do is bring the tax burden down. I can't afford the taxes that we've got. I just received my tax bill today and it went up again. And the quickest and easiest way is to get the state spending under control. I believe there's way too many programs that are being misused. It's being funded by taxpayers that's not supposed to be funded by taxpayers. And I also know I got a call from Healthy Maine that it's not supposed to be the federal funding for that, which actually is from the tobacco company.
Mm-hmm.
Is not supposed to be used for the general budget, and it's diverted it.
How did you find that out?
I got a letter in the mail, first as a candidate, and they were saying, I read the whole letter, and I wanted to speak specifically to a person, and they reinforced it to me that yes, they've used, I believe, 18% of that money. That was from the tobacco companies, not taxpayer-funded at all, to be used. The legislature did set up how it was supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. For instance, education for children, how bad tobacco is for you. There was like 8 different things. I wish I had.
But all involving tobacco.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was not to be used or funneled into the general budget. And I believe to this date, it's been 18% of it has already been funneled into that. So I want to look into those things that, okay, if this money is supposed to be used for this, why is it here? That's a big thing I'd like to look into. The other thing I really want to get into if I can get into Augusta, is how DHS is spending its money. I should say losing it. I have no problem with helping people get back on their feet. I have no problem. Actually, I can see some things that I'd like to see change when there has been a situation where a high school student has made a poor choice.
Mm-hmm.
The parents are trying to help them through this poor choice, but the way it is set up now, unless you move out of your home, you're not going to get any help. But wouldn't it be less expensive for the state to let that student stay with their family, because their family, if they're on health insurance, can pay for that student's health insurance right through as long as they're in college.
Mm-hmm.
And the instance I'll be using would be if the student has a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would think that the state would be able to help with the cost of the new baby. The new baby comes, the family can't afford to put the baby on the insurance, but we can help keep my child on insurance. We don't need housing, but that's not how it works. If that child moves out of the house, the state will give them rent, the state will give them gas money, the state will give them babysitting money, daycare money, the state, no. That doesn't make sense to me.
So it's all or nothing with the state.
It's all or nothing with the state. You can get a few things. But basically, they want, to me, it would be so much more profitable to the state and to this new mom.
stay with your family, where we can help you,
where we can support you emotionally, but they need help. That way, that child, that teenager can go on to college. How are you going to go to college and take care of babies? And then, in some instances, and I know this firsthand, the boyfriend, we can't get any help unless we move out. All right, the state's going to set you up in an apartment, so now we get the boyfriend that's moved in. So now we're taking care of the boyfriend and the baby, when all they wanted was help for the baby in the first place. So that's one area I'd like to see, you know, eligibility changed to, so these poor choices can still be a new start too. But the way the system's set up now, this, once you're on the system, you can't get off in it.
Right.
The same way with, you've got some that you can work so many hours a week, or you're going to lose all your services. Well, so they don't work. Well, let's not take all the services away. Let's make it so that as they're able to work more and work more till they can afford to get off the state, again, the way it is set up, it's almost like all or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's costing us. Another big thing I like to see in DHS is I am really upset that they can get money back from their food stamp program.
Get money back?
Oh, yeah. There's a program now that I think through your TANF, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't used your allotted money, you can ask for cash back. You get, so if they take cash back, they can buy a cigarette. There's no accountability at all. None for what they do with that cash. And I didn't even realize Maine had that until it came up in California where they were complaining about them taking the cash and going gambling. And they said that Maine had that program too. I said, Maine has this program? Sure enough, you can go to any Walmart, go anywhere, the person in front of you can use that card. If you want cash back, they can give you cash back. They can go back through the line, buy a carton of cigarettes. They can buy beer. They can go gamble if they want it. There is absolutely no accountability for that.
Oh,
now,
I
would rather see them expand the services, because you do. It's, food stamps used to be just for food, but they need toiletries.
Mm-hmm.
They need shampoo. They need toothpaste. They need necessities. Expand it for its uses. But you know they're using cash for things that... I don't buy my own husband's cigarettes. I don't want to be buying anybody else's.
Right.
You know, there's one program there. That's okay. The program was supposed to be, it's a good program to get people back on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look into it. See, okay, how is it being misused? Another thing I just found out, somebody called me, and I've always had problem with the Aspire program because of no oversight with that.
Can you explain to our listeners what the Aspire program is?
The Aspire program actually helps people get back on their feet. The program itself, the idea of it is good. It will help them if you go enroll in school. You can get your GED. You can take classes. If you need a vehicle, they will fund it. And P&H Auto was a recipient of this program because we did all the work in Millinocket for the Aspire program.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I began to see, okay, this isn't how this is supposed to work. They might come in and have their car all fixed up. The state gave P&H Auto a check.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times, the person that was using the program was using it legitimately. But boy, a lot of times they weren't. They could go sell that car, get another one down the road, come back and get that one fixed up. They may never even knock on the door of the school, but yet they could get as much as, I've heard them get as much as $800 a month for gas money, daycare, as well as your at free education, when they can be collecting that check every month and still never darken the door of a school. So what good is the program if it's being misused? The program, the idea of the program is great to help people. And it, I think in the beginning, too, it was supposed to help displaced workers that have been laid off.
Right.
Let's help you get go into a different career, which is what it was set out to do, but that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening at all. I mean, even people with a rap sheet, as long as your arm, was getting $900 a month, just any one of the money, just to say he was going, well, all right, let's wrong with this program. Then let's, don't even want to go into the methadone clinic with me. That's another program. When you've got three or four guys, I don't know what the mileage check is, but you get a mileage check, a reimbursement check to go to your methadone clinic. which would be great, but how many are going to the methadone clinic to actually get clean? Or how many want that check? And I know firsthand from a methadone counselor that personally told me that there's been as many as 4 or 5 people come down in Project Ride Van, which I believe the taxpayers fund that as well.
Yes, they do.
And all 4 or 5 people still get their mileage check. Would you want to get off methadone if you were getting a check?
I wouldn't want to get off methadone if I was getting methadone.
Well, you're right. Right. So again, how would another program be misused?
What about other departments other than DHHS? How do you feel about DIRGO?
Well, that's my next DIRGO. As a person that knows firsthand how the DIRGO program was supposed to work, back in 2003, I was one of these self-employed people that we just couldn't afford insurance. I was all excited that we were going to have a program that was going to help us. The only thing was, when the premiums came up, I thought, oh, I can't pay this premium. I believe the very first premium I was offered was like $900 a month, and I was paying $1,600. I thought, I still can't pay the $900. Okay, and then the next time renewal come around, I looked into DIRGO again. Make a long story short, my last premium that was offered to me was over $1,200 with a higher out-of-pocket. So it didn't work for me. That's okay, it didn't work for me. The only thing is, it was not supposed to be taxpayer funded.
Is it?
They say it's not. Supposedly, the funding comes from all insurance claims, which the insurance, anybody, I thought at the time was just Anthem Blue Cross, because I believe Anthem Blue Cross have the initial DIRGO program now. Now it's Harvard Pilgrim. But it didn't matter. Any insurance claim that was filed, the insurance company would have to pay, I think it's 2.14% of that claim.
Any insurance company?
Any insurance company. Any claim that was filed. Mm-hmm. So I guess in some eyes, it doesn't look like it's being taxpayer funded. But who do you think the insurance company passes that 2%+ on to?
You don't think they eat that amount?
No, I don't think so at all. Especially, I have a $15,000 deductible. Mm-hmm. It's just a catastrophic. No drug coverage. I think what little bit of drug coverage I have, first of all, has to go through my $15,000 deductible. And I have a little thing with the Hannaford company every now and then if you get a generic drug
right,
or something.
Right, right.
Okay, I just went on a brand new diabetic drug that works great until I went to get the prescription filled, and it was $240 a month, so I couldn't afford that. I'm on a four-year, I have 4 years left of my preventative cancer treatment that I'm on. That drug alone is $130 a month, so there was no way I could afford that. So I've got this catastrophic insurance, mm-hmm. $15,000 deductible. Well, this is only October. October 1st was my second increase in 10 months.
Now, is that just Deb Perkins, or does everybody get the same increases?
At this time, anybody with health choice. Sometimes they put the increase on just the small business policies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they put it on individual policies. For some reason, the individuals got 2 rate increases this year.
Wonderful.
Gee, right. Now, I wonder why. And I think, at least with Anthem, and I don't know with other insurance companies, a percent of that has to go to durable health. So it doesn't seem fair to me that I've had 2 rate increases on an insurance program that's just catastrophic to begin with, that I should have to pay for somebody else to have insurance that I can't benefit from.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't mind paying a share mm-hmm. if everybody could benefit from it. But at the time, it was supposed to by 2005 or 2009, I've got my figures right here, but it was supposed to cover 128,000 uninsured people. It covers less than 3,400. I believe at the debate I said 340, but I meant 3,400 uninsured. All the other people on this DIRGO is being subsidized.